May the words of my mouth and the thoughts of all our hearts be always acceptable in your sight, O God, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. Amen. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem, so our psalms and hymns and the other prayers of the church tell us. Jerusalem, not just the city Jerusalem, but also a potent exemplar of all other places in the world where peace is desperately needed. The last weeks alone, we saw the Pope pause at the barrier wall. We hear of bloodshed every day, the plight of the kidnapped girls in Nigeria, the terrible violence against women in parts of India and Pakistan, and the ongoing outcry against the sentence of death by hanging of Miriam Ibrahim in the Sudan. And in our own nation, in our own diocese, there are those who suffer the oppression of poverty, violence, injustice, domestic abuse, and lost opportunity. We long in all parts of God's world for a time when God will wipe every tear from our eyes, and mourning and crying and pain will be no more. For people of faith, this is part of the new Jerusalem for which we pray, a new creation in which God will answer even before we call, where those who build and plant will have enough for themselves and for those with whom they trade. This is part of which invigorated and ignited the fair trade movement. Fair prices for producers. No more one person planting and others eating all the fruit. So then, if we're praying for peace constantly and there is no peace, what conclusions might we draw? Each of us will answer differently. For me, part of my conclusions begins where we are now in the church's year, an in-between time, between the ascension of Jesus and the seal of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost. We believe that Jesus ascended, and in doing so, taking all of humanity into the Godhead, into God's godness, if you like. God is God in relationship. We express that as Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, or Creator, Redeemer, Sustainer. And many other attempts at describing this relationship, which is God. Whatever words we use, we are mindful that this God in relationship is the God in whose image and likeness humanity is created. We are created as beings in relationship within ourselves, in relationship with the created order, and of course in relationship with each other. This broadens our understanding of what we pray for when we pray for peace, because peace is not just the absence of war or conflict, but it's something much deeper. Something which Isaiah tries to express in the oracle we heard in the first lesson. No more the sound of weeping or cry of distress. No more infant mortality. No more people dying before they've reached a good old age. Even those who live for 100 years will be considered a youth. This is a healthy old age. People will build houses for themselves and live settled lives. They'll plant food and have enough for themselves. It won't be taken from them. Their labor won't be in vain. And from St. John's vision in Revelation, even the most precious commodity on earth, that of water, will be a gift from the spring of the water of life to the thirsty. This freedom, then, from hunger and thirst and injustice is part of the peace for which we pray. And as those in relationship, made in the image and likeness of God, then within ourselves we also have those who thirst, hunger, die too young, and really do labor in vain. This is a wonderful prayer. These things, O God, that your servants have prayed for, give us grace to work for, and in the purpose of your love, answer our prayers and fulfill our hopes. The peace for which we pray is the peace for which we work. Where might we see that every day or every week? If we take any of the situations, near or far, for which we pray, is there perhaps some action associated with those prayers? If we pray for Miriam Ibrahim in the Sudan, do we also write a letter to the Foreign Secretary, to our own MP, encouraging action? If we pray for those who live with poverty in our own community, do we contribute to the food bank? Do we volunteer? Do we write to our MP? Do we carefully research before we vote? If we pray for young people who lack educational opportunity, do we also volunteer as school governors or mentors or youth leaders for uniformed organizations? It's easy to think that these kinds of things, especially those things that seem really small, small things like writing a letter, it's easy to think they're of no account, but this just isn't true. For example, in our papers this morning, there's news that Miriam may be freed. It's a direct consequence of all the simple things people have done, the simple letters to the Foreign Secretary, and our prayers, and those of our sisters and brothers throughout the world. We can be the peace for which we pray as we open our eyes to our world in new ways. And this is the work of God the Holy Spirit, which of course is our focus next weekend. We celebrate new ways of seeing, not just seeing God the Holy Spirit, but also seeing our world. And having seen in new ways, seen things we never saw before, we'll also know ourselves inspired to be part of the answers to our own prayers. All human beings, made in the image and likeness of God in relationship, pray for peace, for the new creation where there is no weeping and no cry of distress. We may not always agree how to achieve this, but as Christian people, we can know ourselves inspired to act as we pray. The most effective prayer, the most effective listening, happens when we are attentive to what God is saying through what's happening in our world, and then when we listen carefully and act accordingly. Could it be buying fair trade, writing letters, standing for office, contributing to a food bank, volunteering? It's these and everything else that contributes in small ways to make for peace. Together the church listens as God speaks to us in our prayers. And we're part of the transformation of the world, part of the peace for which we pray, when we respond to God in love and in joyful obedience. The things, good Lord, that your servants have prayed for, give us the grace also to work for, and in the purpose of your love, answer our prayers and fulfill our hopes. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Let us pray. As we pray for peace, we pray for nations where there is warfare and conflict, where oppression is ripe. Loving God, your Son, Jesus, is the Prince of Peace. We pray for those who have responsibility of political leadership, for those who are in positions of sending aid, and for all those who, like us, have power behind the scenes to pray, to act. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we pray for peace in the church, so we also pray for ourselves and our brothers and sisters throughout the world. Lord God, your Son told his followers to live in unity. We pray that we will continue to find ways of doing that, of disagreeing well, of seeking your way forward so your kingdom will be built. Give grace to us and to all our brothers and sisters, that we might rightfully bear the light of Christ. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we celebrate with all of those who celebrate. We pray for those to be confirmed here this evening, from our congregation, for Charles, Philip, Richard, Tom, and James, for their parents and godparents. And we give you thanks for the blessing that they are among us, and ask that you will continue to enable us to grow together. We pray for those who will be baptized throughout the world today and who face immediate persecution for their faith in Christ. Strengthen us by their example and strengthen them by our prayers. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Lord God, we pray for peace in the hearts of all of those who have asked for our prayers, for those known to you alone, and among our cathedral family, for Gladys Barber, Paige Coleman Bell, Mike Duane, Bob Ellison, Noreen Eldridge, Ken Elson, Jane Ford, Margaret Jackson, Peter Martin, Luke Mason, Alex Wetherspoon, and Della Vianne. May they know kindness and compassion, wholeness and light. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
As we pray for peace, we thank God for the promise of peace, the abundant life to which we are all called, the fullness of which is enjoyed by all those who died in the faith of Christ. We pray for the repose of the souls of Charles Scott, Keith Jackson, Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
And Lord God, we thank you that we can pray for ourselves, for peace in our hearts and in our homes. Enable us to be people of peace. Guide and strengthen all we do for the good of others. And may we know always the joy of your presence in our hearts. Lord, in your mercy,
hear our prayer.
Commending ourselves and all for whom we pray to God's love and protection, we say the grace together.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, and the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit, be with us all evermore.
Amen.
Amen. Hymn 169. Thank you.
Peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be among you and remain with you always.
Amen. Amen.